are going to be talking about light, and I can think of no better way to talk about that than in one white shoe and one black shoe, because I got dressed in the dark. I was distracted and trying not to wake up three children, and here I am in all of my mismatched shoe glory. So it's holy grand no matter what you wear. So, you know, there we go. So maybe you feel like me, though. Maybe you are feeling too rushed and frantic this morning, because that's why I ended up with these two shoes. Or maybe you're feeling like you're stuck in the dark trying to figure everything out. Or maybe your to-do list is still so long and you still have so many things left undone. Maybe you have a family gathering to get to right after this. Or maybe you're going to attempt short pump traffic for some unknown reason. But if your mind is racing today like mine is, if you too are at church today with a frantic heart or even mismatched shoes, then I invite you to take a deep breath with me. As I tell kids when they get frustrated, we're going to take a deep breath together. Can we all do it? Doesn't that feel better already? And if only for this time that we have together, we are going to stop thinking about everything else and listen to God's word. So if you would, we're going to be a little different today. I just want you to shut your eyes, take some deep breaths, and I'm going to read you from two places in John. From the book of John, chapter 12, verses 46. Jesus says, "I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in the darkness." And also in John, from chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Okay, you can open your eyes again, but still remain calm, okay? We can do this, all right? Deep breaths. Okay, all of us celebrate Christmas in our own special way. Now, for 10 or so years of my life, I attended the 5:30 service at my home church with my family, and then I would go with my best friend to midnight mass. Then on Christmas morning, we would have our Christmas with my family and grandparents and then go to a large extended family Christmas lunch. One of my friend's families goes and eats Chinese food before heading to Christmas Eve service. And maybe Christmas Eve services here are a tradition for you as well. Then on Christmas Day, we celebrate some more. Some houses have gifts waiting by the chimney from Santa, and other houses have a few gifts, but maybe more long conversations and laughter. Many of you, and I hope me, will be taking a nap. Before children, I would go and see a movie on Christmas evening. One member of the church told me that on Christmas night, her and her family go out to eat fried pickles and wings, you know? We really do remember the day of Christmas in our own special ways. And it's not different from a long time ago. I'm here to tell you the gospel writers were no different than we are. Well, maybe they didn't have fried pickles and wings, but they wrote about the Christmas story in different ways. As they wrote biographies and stories that attempted to showcase the identity and significance of Jesus, they each remembered Christmas, the day that Jesus entered the world, in their own special ways. Now, Matthew tells us about Joseph and how he was visited by an angel who informed him that the son his wife was going to give birth to was Jesus. And he tells us about the Magi who recognized the baby Jesus as the king of the Jews once he was born. Mark's gospel doesn't actually tell us anything about Jesus' birth. Instead, he begins his story with John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, who prepared the way for him by preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, Luke gives us the classic Christmas story that I've acted out many times in pageants, mostly as a wise woman, and you've likely heard many times. Luke tells of the angels visiting Mary and her sister Elizabeth and letting them know they were about to have children. Then he tells us, probably all of you are familiar with the King James version of this line, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And we hear how there was no room at the inn, and that Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem, and Mary gave birth to Jesus and placed him in a manger. And who can forget the shepherds who heard about the Savior's birth while they were abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night? And then there comes John's gospel, which we heard just a few minutes ago. He doesn't mention angels or shepherds, Mary, Joseph, or wise men. John assumes that we've already heard those stories. And instead of retelling it from his perspective, he gives us an introduction to the story of Jesus that is full of poetry and imagery and metaphors, and all of them help summarize the significance of Jesus's mission as he enters the world. And it's the Apostle John who gives us one of the clearest images of what Christmas is all about. It's an image that has its roots in the Old Testament prophecies. It's an image that Jesus himself uses to describe his mission in our verse today when he says, "I have come into the world as light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." The book of John gives us an image that we will celebrate right here tomorrow evening when we light the Christ candle in the very center there. And it's an image of the good news that we will walk out of here this morning remembering. John reminds us that Christmas, we celebrate that Jesus is the light of the world who came to extinguish the darkness. And even John's introduction to this gospel helps us understand this image. He starts off with the same words that begin in Genesis when he says, "In the beginning." But instead of giving us a detailed account of how the world came into being, John tells us this: "In the beginning was the Word." Now the Word may be thought of as the active agent through whom God created the world. And John continues by telling us that this Word was with God in the beginning, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light for all people. Here in this poetic language, John points us to one of the deepest mysteries of Christian faith in the Trinity. And it was at celebration that Jesus gave light and life to all people, for even that time, he was the light of the world, even in the beginning. And in the beginning, the world was full of life, it was full of light, and God the Father, through Jesus, created humanity in God's image so that we could be in relationship together. Now, if the story stopped with the creation of the world right there, then we would have no reason to celebrate the birth of Jesus this week. We know that everything did not remain as God created it. Instead, Adam and Eve broke relationship with God when they disobeyed him. Immediately, they knew that what they had done was not right, so they went and they hid. Do you remember where they hid? In the darkness, so that they wouldn't have to face God. But God sought them out in the shadows because he didn't want them to be in the shadows living in darkness. God told them that he loved them, and ever since then, God has been trying to have God's children live in the light rather than the darkness. But humans, like us, we are all there, have continued to separate themselves from the light of God. We have exchanged our relationship with God for a relationship with idols. We have not been good stewards of creation, and we have not loved those around us well. We have chosen to separate ourselves from the light that God gave us and instead live in darkness. For thousands of years, so this is not new, God tried to help his people move back into the light. He gave the people of Israel light through the law and through his covenant promises, but they continued to live in darkness and disobedience. So through the prophets, he promised his people a Messiah, a Savior, a liberator who would shine light into the darkness and enable people to walk in the light. And in the fullness of time, God sent his only son, Jesus, into the world to fulfill those roles. So on the very Christmas day, very first Christmas day, Jesus was born into a world of darkness so that he could bring an end to that darkness. And that darkness, that first Christmas was thick. The first Christmas wasn't a peaceful Hallmark card depicted scene. Soon after he was born, King Herod killed all the babies who were under 2 years old in the region in hopes that he would kill baby Jesus in the process. Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, during Jesus' day, regularly beat groups of people who opposed his rule into submission. Throughout his ministry, Jesus was ridiculed, questioned, and hated by many of his own Jewish brothers and sisters. But none of this stopped him from completing the mission he came to fulfill. Jesus was God present as a man in the world. He was a prophet who revealed to humanity how we could live alongside one another and love each other. He was a friend to the outcasts in society, the women, the prisoners, the hungry, the lepers, and all of those who were deemed sinners by others. He was the light of the world shining into the darkness. But as John tells us, when Jesus was in the world, many of his own people who were living in the darkness did not accept him. They didn't want to receive the light, so they crucified Jesus on a cross, hoping to extinguish the light he radiated once and for all. But as we all know, God had other plans. Jesus says himself in our verse today that he came as light to the world. God lovingly used Jesus' death on the cross as an all-sufficient sacrifice that was owed to him because of humanity's sin. This provided a way for the darkness of sin to be extinguished from the world. And 3 days after he died, Jesus conquered the darkness of death by rising from the grave. He ascended into heaven from where he originally came, and now he reigns there over the kingdom. This is the story of the world that the church believes and teaches, but it isn't always clear where we fit this story, where we fit into the story, and how we continue it today. So how are we connecting our story to God's story? At times, we're tempted to think that everything is now okay with the world. I mean, we're not killing babies that are all under two. We believe that people are basically good, which is a good thing to believe, that things are a lot better along than they have been throughout history, and that perhaps if we all tried to be a little nicer to each other, then this world would be as good as it can be. And even though we are so close to Christmas and want to think about joy and happy things, we know that sometimes the world is not good, that sometimes there is still darkness. We recognize that when someone walks into an elementary school or a nightclub or a high school or a mall with a gun and innocent people die. We recognize that when your spouse tells you that they don't think they can continue in a marriage anymore. Or when your father dies, or when we witness countries at war, people starving, families torn apart. Still keep breathing. You guys are okay, okay? You find out that your child may be addicted to drugs or that you are addicted to something. Maybe you witness firsthand abuse or violence or hear the stories of those that have been directly affected. In those moments that we know that everything isn't okay with the world, we know that darkness is still present. And we're left wondering how these things happen in the world even after Jesus, the Prince of Peace, entered at Christmas. I think a metaphor from Dietrich Bonhoeffer may be helpful here. Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor who was arrested during World War II because of his resistance to Hitler. While many church leaders in Germany gave in to Hitler and went along with him, Bonhoeffer stood strong with only a few others. He was also an amazing theologian who left behind many writings, some of which are his letters from prison, written to those on the outside. In a letter from 1943, he wrote, "Life in a prison cell may well be compared to Advent. One waits, hopes, and does this, that, or the other. Things that are really of no consequence. The door is shut and can only be opened from the outside." Life in a dark prison cell. I think that is a great way to think about this situation with humanity. Before Jesus came, there was only a sliver of light entering the cell through the bottom of the door. People were living in great darkness without the possibility of escape. But then one day, Christmas Day, the door was open from the outside. Jesus came into the cell. He lived with those inside in the midst of their darkness. He told them about a new world that was outside that they could experience if they would only follow him out the door. He told them that it was infinitely better than anything they'd experienced up until that point. Some listened and trusted, but others kicked him out of the cell. They were used to the darkness and were content with it. They had become so used to living in the cell that they couldn't imagine anywhere better awaited somewhere else. After Jesus was kicked out of the cell, some of the people who trusted him followed the path to the way out. These followers of Jesus discovered a new world outside of the darkness of the cell, a world full of light, peace, love, hope, joy. And so they ran back into the cell to tell others the good news. They told the others inside that they could trust this Jesus guy who came and opened the cell and follow his path out the door into the light. They were witness to the light and the amazing new life that came along with it. And while many people did not follow them out, many chose to remain in the dark cell, a cell that they had grown used to, a cell that their eyes had adjusted to. This cell is like the world we continue to live in. And the church is that body of messengers who constantly return to the cell by the power of the Holy Spirit to let others know that they can be free from the darkness because of God's great gift to them. So today, we celebrate that God did not leave us in the dark, but sent Jesus to come identify with us and our situation and show us the way towards light and new life. And we also look with great expectation to the day in which all the darkness will be extinguished, for we know that the darkness will never be able to overcome the light. John tells us the way out of the cell. John tells us that all who receive Jesus, all who believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, the light of the world sent to save us from our sins, all those who believe will receive the forgiveness of sins, the power to become children of God, and the assurance of life forever with God. This is the message of Christmas. If you haven't ever believed in Jesus as your Savior and the Savior of the world, then there is no better time than now as we celebrate his entrance into the world. And if you have believed in Jesus and followed him to light and new life, then this morning you have the opportunity to ask God to search your heart, to reveal to you the darkness that still resides there, and to send God's Holy Spirit to fill you with light. You also have a mission. You're called to go and tell others about the light of the world and the freedom he brings. You're called to carry the light of Christ into the world so that others may receive the greatest gift on earth. Let us pray together.